Well, Father, we thank you for this time in the Word tonight, Lord. We love you, sir. We set our love upon you, and we thank you, Lord, for your mercy and grace, which you have abundantly shed abroad towards all mankind. And, Father, we thank you for that grace. We receive it, Lord. We thank you that we have a right to activate that grace and receive the flow that you so deeply want to pour into our lives. And as we study your word tonight, Lord, I ask that revelation comes forth in all of our lives, and that it will be an ongoing revelation as we live our lives from this point forward, that as we go through our life and hear the word, we'll see your mercy and grace functioning in our lives and through us, Lord, and in other people's lives. Father, as we study today and as you reveal your word to us today, we thank you for those that will hear this through CDs and through the internet if we place it there, and through our personal lives. Lord, we thank you that you will take your word and see to it that it goes where it's needed. We thank you for it, and thank you for the angels that hearken to the voiced word.
Yes, sir.
We receive that, Father. We know that your word is absolute truth, and we receive it as absolute truth. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. We're still in our study, and we'll be for a while yet walking in the ways of the Lord. And this is part 17, and tonight's title is Justified and Made Righteous by God's Grace. Hallelujah. I told you originally there will be about 18 different ways of the Lord that we'll study, and the ways of the Lord are his character. It's his who he is, and it's the way he responds, and the way he functions. And the word says that as he is, so are we in this world. So as we're studying God's ways, we're also studying what our ways are supposed to be like. We started on the actual ways of the Lord as such a couple of weeks ago. And the first two was on love, which love is the very character of God himself. It's who he is. He is the being love. And then the second two was on mercy and loving kindness, which if God is love, then everything he does is full of mercy and loving kindness. And then the last two we've studied have been on grace. Now we're moving into righteousness. But tonight we'll see how righteousness and justification, we'll see how they flow together. And we've mentioned that everything, all of the ways of the Lord flow from love, and from mercy and loving kindness, which he has imparted. And towards his people, they're activated by grace.
Amen.
And without the grace of God, you could not become righteous, because you have to be saved by his grace in order to become righteous. And then we mentioned also in the previous message that holiness flows from righteousness. Without being right with God, being made right by his grace, we could never walk a holy life. And what is a holy life? It's the love walk. If you really boil it down and get it encompassed in what it really is, to walk a holy life, we have to walk the love walk, because God is love. As he is, so are we. As we walk the love walk, as we choose to make our decisions based on love, our life is automatically made holy as he is holy. Matter of fact, the word says, to be ye holy as I am holy. And that's what he's talking about. God is holy love.
If you had to concentrate on just one facet to start with, it is the love walk and perfecting that love walk.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
All else will flow from it.
It flows from that. And they all fall into place. And as you walk that, Nate, as you walk that, the other areas just kind of make sense. They just kind of open up. And it's the place where God's anointing abides.
Amen.
You know, we go to a lot of churches, and I've found over my life and my walk with the Lord, the place where you'll find an anointing in a church, when it actually opens up and you can sense that anointing in that service, is when they sing love songs to the Lord. Because it's like a floodgate that opens and that anointing pours out in wherever it is. What we sang tonight are love songs to the Lord. And as I didn't communicate with her what I was talking about tonight. But these line up right even with the scriptures that we're going to talk about. that's where God's anointing is. It's in the love walk. Because we're linked spirit to spirit. And it just excites me. I'm so glad that God started showing me that many years ago when we had our church. I started studying that. And it just, it's never left me ever since. Those two things, love and mercy, it just fascinates me. Well, like I've said, tonight's message is justified and made righteous by God's grace. A person walking in the ways of the Lord, having an established heart or being spiritually minded, is a person who has been saved, justified, and made righteous by the grace of God. That person will be walking in the ways of the Lord. You can be saved, justified, and made righteous with God, but not be walking in the ways of the Lord. That makes sense?
Yeah.
So God's done his part. Now it's our part. But the person that has the established heart, he will be walking in the ways of the Lord. He has an established heart. But if we're saved and justified and made righteous by the grace of God. There are three words in that title, justified and made righteous by God's grace, that we'll be looking at tonight. And those words are justified, righteous, and grace. We'll see them in our scriptures tonight. Justified means, in a biblical sense, is just as if I have never sinned. Put right with God. God, now I know I have. And even if I lived a perfect life, and I mean I didn't do anything wrong, which is not possible, but if I did that, I would still not be justified. Because I'm born into the law of sin and death, which came to pass when Adam fell. It was already in existence, but it was not existent in existence where man was concerned until Adam fell. When he did, man come under that law of sin and death. And that started way back when Lucifer fell. It wasn't even in time, it was in eternity, way back there when he decided he was going to raise his throne above God's. That's when the law of sin and death was born. And it's been present ever since. Mankind came under, mankind walked in the cool of the evening with God in the garden when he was created, and he was not under the law of sin and death until he ate that apple, until he disobeyed. Then he came under that law of sin and death. And he's been there ever since. And there's only one way out of it. Someone that's righteous, that's already right, had to die in the place of a man. And it had to be a man. Along came Jesus. Praise God. So I've been justified, and the only way I can be justified is by God's grace. It's the only way. I cannot ever be justified on myself. By myself. The other word in that title, justified and made righteous by God, is righteous. So righteous means right standing with God. If you narrow it down, that's what being righteous is. By God's grace, I am saved, which justifies me because I made Jesus my Lord and Savior. That was my choice. God's grace has been imparted to all mankind. But like I said in the last couple messages, it has to be activated. And I'm the only one that can activate it where I'm concerned. I have to believe the grace, and I have to receive it. Then, that automatically justifies me when I get born again. Just as if I've never sinned, which automatically makes me righteous, or in right standing with God. The third word in that title is grace. And we've been studying grace for the last couple of weeks, which is unmerited favor. It's God giving favor to mankind. Through his mercy and grace, he imparted favor to all mankind. He died once for all. The grace is there. But not everybody can walk in it. Only those who receive him as his Lord and Savior. You have to be born again before the grace can be activated and imparted into our life. There is no other way. No matter how good you are, no matter how many things you do. You could be in church every single day. You could go to church. Say, well, my mom and dad went to church. I went to church. My uncle went to church. My whole family's been in church. But never made Jesus Lord and Savior of your life. And you're not in this. You don't qualify. Until you personally make that decision. Well, when we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior, by God's free gift of grace, and it's free. We don't have to pay for that, but we have to accept it. When we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior by God's free gift of grace, He justifies us, making us righteous or putting us back into right standing with God Himself by His grace. That's the way it's activated. That's the way it works. It's a chain, like I mentioned before. God is love, so it all flows from love. He's full of mercy and loving kindness because He is love. So everything He does is love, mercy, and loving kindness. He can't do anything else but that. That's all He can do because that's who He is. He exists. That's His personality. That's who He is. From that flows grace, which is activated, then that justifies and makes me right once I activate that. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 4. We read this last week, but we're going to read it again tonight because it's part of everything that we're going to be talking about tonight. For last week, we covered Ephesians 1 and 2, chapters 1 and 2. And as I went back through it, cleaning it up, getting it ready to put on the internet and making CDs, I was just amazed at how good that was. It really flowed good. Sometimes being the one that's speaking it, I don't recognize the flow as much as someone would that hears it. So I get the privilege of not only putting it together beforehand, speaking it, but now I get to listen to it again. So I get it three times. But it was good last week. So let's read this in the New King James. For the most part, I'll be in the New King James again, just referring to the Amplified in a couple of cases. But God, I got to stop on those two words every time. But God, they just fascinate me. To me, that just pours out that things changed here. But God. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us. So this is why He did it, because of His love. Even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. So the only way you can get saved is by grace. It's His grace that caused us to be saved. And raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So the reason He did that was so that this would happen. That in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So we see grace in those few scriptures, Ephesians 2, 4 through 9, we see grace being talked about twice. We also see, as we talked about last week, it's not by anything that we can do. It's not of ourselves. We cannot earn it. It's impossible for us to do enough to earn it. It's impossible. It has to be given by grace. Everybody that ever lived could have died for Michael, shed their blood for me. All of those bulls and goats and all those covenants, I don't know how many that would be, it'd be in the billions or trillions of animals that died in the Old Testament, you know, for covenants, for all those sacrifices. All of them could have died for Michael and still I wouldn't be saved.
Right.
It's not possible, because the only one that could pay the price for Michael was Jesus, the man Jesus. He died for Michael. And I love the songs we sang a while ago. I just love those songs, especially that first one. He paid a debt that he did not owe. And that just tears me up every time I sing that because I know he paid my debt. And I could never pay it. I could not do it. I could live through eternity and still not pay my debt off. The only way is to receive what he did for me. And that is so, so awesome. But he did it out of love, so that not through that one time, through Jesus. Well, up thousands of years, he made covenants with man, moving by love. Every one of those were love and mercy till the cross. And when the cross, when Jesus went to the cross, it was love and mercy that put him there. And he died for us once for all. That just blows my mind. And because of that, that one act by Jesus becoming our sacrifice, it covers all of time and eternity. That's the mercy and grace of God. Hallelujah. Let's look at Romans 5. We'll spend some time in Romans here. There's a lot more. If you study justification and righteousness and grace, you cover the whole Bible. There's hundreds upon hundreds of references. So I picked out a few. A lot of them say basically the same thing in other ways. But Romans is a big book for righteousness and justification. Ephesians was on grace last week. It's just really rich. Romans chapter 5 and verse 6 through 11. This is the New King James again. For when we were still without strength, and that means when we were not born again, before we got saved, we were without strength. We had no strength. We couldn't do anything. For when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Now, that doesn't mean that he goes back to the cross every time somebody gets saved. Mother?
Mm-hmm. In the Amplified, it says, and this is what I love about this. It says, while we were yet in weakness, powerless to help ourselves.
Yes.
At the fitting time, Christ died for in behalf of the ungodly.
Yes.
We were unable to help ourselves.
We can't help ourselves.
And the NIV puts it along that same lines. You see at just the right time when we were still powerless.
Is if you're not born again, you could read that same thing and it'd make absolutely no sense to you. But when you're born again, see, the Holy Spirit's in you. He's one with your spirit, and he's quickening these words to us. I've heard people saying, it happened to me. Well, after I got born again, it's just like it jumped off the pages at me. Mm-hmm. And that's because the Holy Spirit is enlightening our understanding. He's granting revelation. God wants us to know him. But he can't reveal himself to us other than getting saved until we're born again. You can have 15 PhDs behind your name and not understand the Bible.
That's right.
Because it's not going to make sense to you. It's spiritually discerned, the Word says.
We had a relative, Elmer, that he was always ordering like correspondence courses and all kinds of reference books and stuff about the Bible. But I don't know if he was ever born again. He was always trying to learn. But I don't know if something just kept him from making that step. I'm sure he did over time.
Over time, he probably can't read
but
that.
He wasn't really hungry. He was just interested.
Yes. And see, if you're just interested,
because he was a Mason,
what you'll have is a reference book or a history book.
Well, it was always explained to me that someone of great intelligence would struggle with the Word because they're trying to understand it from a logical, just from their education side.
Yeah.
You can't.
And you can't do that.
You
can't
guys know
that.
Who Isaac Asimov was?
Yeah.
He wrote a 2-volume commentary of Asimov's Guide to the Bible, and the man was an avowed atheist.
Yeah.
He thought he knew about the Bible, I couldn't even begin to tell.
You could pull out
him.
Some history in there. Which backed up by Josephus, you know, he wasn't born again. I don't guess he was. But they use him a lot because he was a famous historian and lining up the two. But you cannot understand the Bible without God revealing it.
That's right.
So, read that again. For, Romans 5, 6, for when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly, that's us. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man someone would dare to die. Now, we all have seen people in movies and things in actual life and who would jump on a grenade to save his comrades. Or a mother or a father who would jump in front of a bullet to keep their child alive. Or take some kind of a something. They would die in the place of someone. But not like Jesus did. You know, but like it says here, you're not everybody's going to just go out and die for someone. You might for a good man. You might, maybe. Someone you love. But in verse 8 it says, but God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood. So how did we get justified?
By his blood.
By the blood of Jesus. We got justified because of that cross. Having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath, from wrath through him. So what wrath is he talking about? Hell?
Yeah.
That's what he's talking about. That's the wrath. That's hell. We're saved from that because of the blood of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
But that blood was shed for everyone. So everyone's saved? No. You have to receive what he did. Romans 10, 9 and 10. You have to believe in your heart, confess with your mouth. That's not a formula. It's not just a bunch of words. When that was written, it meant life and death for you. To do that alienated you from all of your family. They treated you as if you never existed. You were dead.
It still does in some countries.
A lot of places, you were killed yourself. And that's still even today. When you confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you mean business. You meant business when you did that. It might have been a foxhole salvation. So there's a lot of people. God, if you get me out of this, and maybe that worked if you meant business when you did it, but maybe it didn't. See, only you are going to know if you mean business with God. And if you want him as your Lord and Savior, and you receive him, if you've ever done that, you're saved.
Amen.
But now you've got to walk the life. But in order to do that, you've got to get into the Word to find out what that life is. And God reveals it to us. We can be saved and live like the world. We'll live a miserable life, but we can do that. Because if you received Jesus and you meant business, you wanted him as your Lord. It wasn't just a bunch of words. You got saved. That's what the Word says. He who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
Period. And you call on the name of the Lord. So you were made righteous and you were justified at that moment. But it doesn't mean you're going to live that. It's still up to us, individually. Mother can be and she is, a very godly woman. We can walk together as one. But my relationship with God cannot be based on hers. And hers cannot be based on mine. My mother and father, my in-laws, I can't base it on the pastor. I can't base it on anyone else other than me. It's my responsibility to walk with God. And his grace has been poured out on all of us. All of us. I have to choose to walk it. And it's being walked in a now moment. And we've talked about that before. That the only place I'm alive is in my now moment. I have to make a choice for God every now moment into the circumstances and situations of life. Verse 9, much more then, having been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more having been reconciled. That past tense, because I got saved. Reconciled means put back together. Reconciled, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. It's not our life that saves us. We're in him. It's his life. Once you get born again, you are in Christ. It's his life. Verse 11, and not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. See, it's not when we die that we get reconciled. We're reconciled right now.
Amen.
Once we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. I've done all the dying I'm really ever going to do. I died when I got saved. October the 4th, 1981, I died. This man inside, the real Michael, died. And now I'm a new creation.
Amen.
Born again, I'm a new creation in Christ. The Holy Spirit came in and we're one. Now when I die, I'm instantly in heaven. Because the ticket has already been paid. I'm already a citizen of heaven. Because I'm born again. I don't have to be concerned about hell. I have to walk a right life now. Because if I don't, I'm under the law of sin and death because it's still here. Even though I'm redeemed from it. But even if I don't live the right life, I'm born again. But it's going to be a miserable life now. And I don't know about you, I don't want a miserable life now. Especially in this dark world that we're living in today. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. We'll be there just a minute, and then we'll come right back to Romans chapter 3. Hallelujah. This is exciting to me. I love talking about this because I just see the heart of God's love poured out, man. Sometimes we'll get born again, and we won't go back to these things. We need to go back to them every now and then and just remind ourselves of what he really did do.
Well, and if you don't, it is so easy to just outright forget what happened.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Try to move forward with these misconceptions in your mind and these lies that you get told. And if you simply go back to this and understand it, it's like,
I don't have to be concerned about those things. And every time we go back, we see something we didn't see before.
Amen.
God, because we're growing. We're growing, and God is revealing himself to us. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. I'd like to go back to 17, which I already mentioned it. But 21. For he made him, or Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Notice he didn't say that you will become. He says that you might become. And we mentioned that before. Might means there's a decision to be made. He died once for all. He died, he became sin, who knew no sin, for us that we might. In other words, we have the ability to. It doesn't mean we will. I have a part to play here. I have to receive what he did for it to be activated, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. We might become. Now let's go back to Romans chapter 3. We've got to watch those words. If it says something like may be able to or might, those means that there's decisions to be made here. It's available. The power's there. Everything's there to, pardon me, for it to happen. But I have to make the decision. I have to activate it. But see, most people don't understand that.
You're quite actually required to use the one thing he gave mankind that he would never override.
His word.
Yeah.
We have to use the word.
Here it is.
Yeah. Well, he gave us free will.
Yes. Well, yeah. I see. Right. Yes, exactly.
And you're required to use that
by choice.
Properly to.
Exactly, Nate. It's all by free will. Yeah. That's why he puts those words might or may be able to. It's all by choice. And that choice, study choice sometime, it just blows your mind. Think, well, I could have chose that. See, that's, to me, I was meditating on hell one time, what it would be like. I don't want to go. I'm not going. But what would it be like to be a person in hell? What would be the worst part of that? You think, well, the fire and brimstone to burn? No, I don't think so. I think the worst part of hell would be absolute knowledge, which you'll have it, absolute knowledge of the fact that you didn't have to go.
Yeah.
That your debt was paid. And you can see it right there. You have full knowledge of it. And for all of eternity, no time at all, no end, you're fully aware that you didn't have to be there.
Right.
To me, that would be the worst part of hell. To realize that my debt was paid and I didn't have to go.
You know that preacher that we heard down in Cape Girardeau, when he was the youth pastor there, when we still lived down there?
Brother Group.
He did a sermon one Sunday on, I don't know if he said three people or five people. I think it was three people I'd like to see go to hell. But what he meant was a pastor to see what it was like, you know, and just galvanize him to be better, you know, different people that if they saw what it was, it would change their lives.
It would change your life completely.
And Jesus tells a parable about the one guy in hell asking God to send somebody else to him.
Yeah.
Yeah, the rich man and Lazarus.
Send Lazarus. Dip his finger in water to cool my burning tongue. You know, so that scripture alone tells us that they can know. They
and
know.
You know, it was a true story because Jesus said there was
a certain man.
Yeah.
So when Jesus was talking about that, that man was in hell. He's in hell right now.
Yeah. Still there.
He's never there.
Get out.
And that's a... We don't take this stuff serious. We just really don't. We just live our life from moment to moment. And I'm not trying to scare anybody. I'm trying to bring the reality of something that we need to be aware of. All we have to do is get born again on purpose and live a right life. Just walk right with God. It's very easy to do. We just walk the love walk in our now moment. Do the loving thing. God did not make it complicated. I was looking outside this morning and I thought, there's a time coming. It won't be a time, it'll be a point when I will no longer be here. I will no longer be in time, but I will still exist. Mm-hmm. I was thinking about that. What is it going to be actually like to just step over? Oh, what happened, you know?
Yeah.
Because it says, in a blinking of an eye, and to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. It's just that quick. And we live our life as if I'm always going to be here. But my parents are no longer here. A lot of people I know are no longer here. But they still exist.
Yeah.
Paul still exists. Adam exists. Mm-hmm. That's why Jesus told those apostles, forget who he's talking to, but he said, and I'm thinking of the Pharisees, because he said, God's not the God of the dead.
Right.
He's the God of the living.
Uh-huh. There was a certain sect of the Pharisees that did not believe.
Yeah.
That was the Sadducees.
Sadducees.
Yeah, they didn't believe in the resurrection or the... Our spirits or angels or anything like
that. Well, I don't know what they did believe in. That's why they were so...
I mean, what's left, you know?
You know, they were Sadducees. They were sad, you see.
Wow.
Because they didn't believe in anything.
Yeah, that was why they were so sad, you see.
That's why they call them that, I guess. I don't know.
John Osteen always laughed.
Yeah, he liked it.
He thought that was cool.
I think it's cool, too. Well, let's read this. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 3, verse 22 through 26. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Christ Jesus to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference. So it is through faith in Christ Jesus. We're going to look at the Amplified in this one when I'm done reading this. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Christ, in Jesus Christ, to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference. In other words, it's to everyone alike. It's not to where, well, this particular group over here, they're not good enough. Or I'm good enough, but Nate's not. There's no difference. There's no difference. He treats everybody alike. Verse 23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I've not sinned. Well, yes, you have. You came into the law of sin and death when you were born. It's automatic. You're automatically
original
there.
Original sin.
Original sin. So if you never do anything, that's still there. So you still have to have somebody as your sacrifice in your place. That's what Jesus did. For all have sinned and fallen and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by His blood through faith, to demonstrate His righteousness, because in His forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate at this present time, or in the now moment, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Now let's look at verse 25 in the Amplified Classic. We talked about this a couple weeks ago when we talked about mercy, but we'll see it again here. Whom God put forward before the eyes of all as a mercy seat and propitiation by His blood, the cleansing and life-giving sacrifice of atonement and reconciliation to be received through faith. When it talks about propitiation, it's talking about the sacrifice necessary. Jesus became the propitiation for our sins. He became the sacrifice, the Lamb that was crucified. That's what propitiation means. He took our place. He became the propitiation for our sins, the life-giving sacrifice of atonement and reconciliation to be received through faith. See, you have to believe it. If you don't believe it, even though it's already given to you, you can't have it. It won't work. You have to believe it. This was to show God's righteousness, because in His divine forbearance, He passed over and ignored former sins without punishment. So, this is something God did. He did it already. Everyone that has ever lived or will live, their debt is completely paid. He became the propitiation for the sins of all mankind, past, present, and future. And that blows my mind. But that's what the Word says. There's no one that's so bad that they cannot be saved.
Amen.
In this life. Let's look at 1 John 2, and then we're coming right back to Romans again. There we go, 1 John. Chapter 2 and verse 1 and 2. My little children, these things I write to you, so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. So he's saying, I'm writing this to you so that you're not going to have to sin. But if you do, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ. An advocate is an attorney. He stands in our place and stands for us. Verse 2, and he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world.
Hallelujah.
And you could add past, present, and future. Praise God. Now let's go back to Romans 4. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace. See, again, Paul's bringing out the fact that it's by faith. This grace will work, but it'll only work by your faith, not my faith. It works by my faith for me, but it works for your faith. To you, it works by your faith, not mine. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed. Now, we're the seed. Not only to those who are of the law, or Jews, under the old covenant, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Now, well, Abraham was a Jew. No, he wasn't. He never became a Jew. He was the father of the Jews. There wasn't no Jews when Abraham was born. But what Paul's talking about here is the fact that God accounted righteousness to Abraham by faith. Abraham's faith in what God had said, in what God told him, in the covenant that God made with Abraham, God, the word says that he accounted that to him as righteousness. And that's what it's saying here. When we have faith in what Jesus did, it's accounted to us as righteousness. We're born again. So we're made righteous by faith. And that's what Paul's bringing out here. We become righteous through faith, by grace. Now, I'm going to read verse 16, Romans 4:16 in the Amplified Classic. Therefore, it's the same verse, but it's in the Amplified. Therefore, inheriting the promise is the outcome of faith and depends entirely on faith. So it won't work without faith. In order that it might be given as an act of grace, a merited favor, to make it stable and valid and guaranteed to all his descendants, not only to the devotees and adherents of the law, or the Jews, but also to those who share the faith of Abraham, who is thus father of us all. We share in the faith of Abraham by faith, trusting in the covenant that God made through Jesus Christ. We believe that. We trust it. So we're made righteous because of trusting in him. So it is of faith that it might be grace. And I like the way the Amplified says, it depends entirely on faith. It won't work any other way. It's by faith. Now let's, well, I did that. Let's, Romans 5, 1 and 2. And I'm going to read 5, 1 in the Amplified after we read 5, 1 and 2 in the New King James. Therefore, having been justified by faith, so he says it again. There are several places in Romans he continuously talks about grace by faith, righteousness by faith, justification by faith. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, or we've been reconciled to him. There's no longer a separation between us. We're not enemies. We've been made one again. Verse 2, through whom we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. So it is by the faith that gives us access. If I have access to something, it's like I've got the key to it. You know, you have a safety deposit box, the bank keeps one key and you get another one. If you go in there without that key, you can't get in there. So that key is faith. We have to have faith to have access to this grace. It's by faith we're saved. If I don't believe it, or if I just take it on the cuff and say, okay, that's okay. It's like I throw it over in the corner, I acknowledge it, but no more, I don't do anything with it. That's not by faith. If I have faith in it, it changes my life.
Amen.
I'm going to trust it no matter what happens. No matter what anybody else says. See, I've thought about this many times, and I've told people this, that would get upset about me doing certain things, Christian-wise. And I've told them, hey, I'm the one living in this body. I'm the only one that can make decisions for Michael. No one can make it for me. I'm making this decision because I want to. Because I trust the Lord no matter what anybody thinks. You don't like what I'm doing, I'm sorry. But I have to do this way. Because I know that it's right. I can't do it because you don't want me to, or you don't think it's right or wrong. I know what you're telling me is not right. So I'm not doing it. I love you, and I'll help you in anything I can do, but I'm not doing that. Because it's wrong. Well, it's okay. Everybody does it. No, it's not okay. It's not according to the Word. And I'm the one living in this body. I have to make decisions for me. You can't make them for me. So I'm doing what I think is right. And God will let me know if I'm wrong. You have to be that way in this world. The majority of the time, if you watch where you go and stay with the right people, you don't have that issue. But if you're just going out anywhere, you're going to run into that.
Especially on your job or something.
Yeah. And if you don't place a guard on your heart, you'll wind up eventually going that way by peer pressure, and you can't go that way because of that. I've had to sit with people talking and making comments, different things, and not say anything. And they think I'm mad. I'm not mad. I just can't join in this conversation. You're cutting that brother down, and I can't do that. I may or may not say anything. If I say something, it's got to be on a different subject. Or I've got to say, well, let's pray for that guy. We're all criticizing here, except for me, but let's pray for him. He needs help. So you got to respond based on the Word, not on what other people do. So it's important for us to realize it, and it's something that's not taught very much.
Because a table full of people running down to president or something. And you
I can't get involved in that.
Why
I can't,
don't you lead us in prayer for him? What do you think you're going to get?
Yeah. Oh, Lord, get him. No, that's not praying for him. No, Paul made that mistake. I read it the other day in Acts. And every time I read it, it shocks me because Paul's being called before the Pharisees. And this one Pharisee tells him to slap him. Slap Paul. And Paul comes back and he says, you whitewashed wall, God's going to... And that's what he called him. And he said, are you going to criticize the high priest that way? And he says, I'm sorry, I didn't know he was the high priest. The Word says not to criticize or speak evil of your leaders. And the Word says that. You're not supposed to criticize your leaders. But we do that all the time. I do it on the television. He can't hear me, but what about I've done that. So see, I got to correct myself. I can't do that. I'm supposed to pray for him. And we pray together, and I pray by myself for him every day, for all of our leaders every day. We can't pray for them and criticize them at the same time. We've got to shut our mouth. And we can get some things done that way. We can't if we keep criticizing. I told you before, you can't criticize and pray at the same time. Because you believe what you're criticizing. So you don't believe your prayer. Your prayer won't work. So, okay. Now let's look at that in the Amplified. Or did I do that already?
Romans 5,
no, I didn't.
1.
Okay, now let's go back. I've done the other one. Romans 5, 1. Therefore, having been justified, now that's past tense, by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Now I'm going to read verse 1 of that in the Amplified. The verse 2 is basically the same, so I'm just going to concentrate on verse 1 for time. Therefore, since we are justified, acquitted, declared righteous, and giving a right standing with God through faith. So there give a definition of what that word justifies means. It means to be acquitted or made right with God, just as if I've never sinned, acquitted, declared righteous. Who declared me righteous? God did. And given a right standing with God. See, I didn't earn it. I was given it. And so were you when you got born again. You were given a right standing with God. Let us grasp the fact. I like the way the Amplified says that. Let us grasp the fact that we have the peace of reconciliation to hold and to enjoy. Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. So this is not a future peace, which it will be there in the future. It's something I can hold on to right now.
Amen.
It's mine right now, in this time, in the now. It's something I've been reconciled to God. But God's mad at me. No, He's not. If you're born again, He's not mad at you. And if you're not born again, He's not. But He's expecting, He's mad at what you do. But not at you. He loves you. He hates the sin. So get born again, lose that sin, and then you're pleasing to the Father in all ways. Glory to God. I'm going to read that. I got to reread this. I'm going to finish this, but I'll hurry. Well, we got started late, didn't we?
Not
because of Nate, but we just did get started late. So let's read this real quickly. Romans 8, 29. I love Romans 8.
Everybody does.
Man.
But it's really hard to get the most of it if you don't do Romans 4, 5, 6, 7.
You got to do those first to understand 8. For whom He foreknew, that's us, He knew us before the foundation of the Word, the world says. We read that in Ephesians. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Okay, I'm predestined. That's going to happen. Not if you're not born again, it's not. See, He predestined us. The Word says He planned in love for us, in the Amplified in Ephesians, but it doesn't mean you're going to accept it. You see, that God saw Nate way back there, and He said, I love Nate. I'm predestined him to walk with me. I'm predestining his life. But, like Nate said earlier, He gave us free will choice.
There's a might in there.
Except, if Nate does not choose Jesus, even though his life's predestined, he's not going to fulfill his destination. We are, though, because we're born again. Praise God. Verse 30, moreover, whom He predestined, these He also called. Whom He called, these He also justified. And whom He justified, these He also glorified. Glory be to God. The Amplified there says in, where it says justified, the Amplified says acquitted, made righteous, putting them in right standing with Himself. So it's the same one we just read earlier. He's acquitted us. He made us righteous, and He put us in right standing with Himself. He did that. I can't. So He is the justifier. Now, let's go to... yeah, that's what I said. Now, let's go over here to Romans 5:21. I think I'm running in the end here real quickly. If nothing else, I'll just read them. But I want to go through this. Romans 5:15. We see through Romans, Paul is continuously mentioning the same things. He's drawing us to the fact that it's free grace, that God gave it to us, that we have to receive it, that we've been made righteous. I can't earn it. I can't do enough works to become righteous. He justified me. He made me righteous, or in right standing with Him. See, I can't put myself in right standing with God because there's been a separation there by Adam. So the one that was separated from has to allow me to come back. So He granted the grace to me to come back. If I quit a job, I have a job, and it was a good job, and I thought I was going to have a better one, so I quit, and I go to this other job, and it doesn't work out, and I go back, I can say, hey, you got to take me back. No, He doesn't. Now, He can take me back, but He has to grant that. He has to grant me coming back to work for Him. He may not want me back. But God wants us back. So He said, okay, if everyone, the door's open to everyone. I'm not mad at anybody. I'm forgiving everybody, past, present, and future. But in order to be justified, they have to choose it. Because I also gave them a free will. They have to choose this. See, if He made them do it, that's not love. They're slaves. But if they do it on their own free will because they want to, that's love. See, love doesn't make anybody do anything. God will not make us do anything at all, because love will not make you do anything. That's slavery. That's being a dictator. He gave us free will so that we can make free will choices out of love. He wants us to choose Him again. Not because He's mean, because it's the only way back. See, that's another thing that blows my mind. Here's God, and everybody turned his back on Him and everything else, and there's no reason to want this group back. He could have started over, but still out of love, because we're made in His image, which is love. We're made in His image. He wants us back out of love. And like I've said so many times, that's all He's doing. Since the fall, He's not done anything else but work ways out to get man back of their own free will because they want to.
But He paid the price to do that.
He paid the price so they could.
I always think of my dad.
Yes.
When I was a little kid, we lived in Illinois, but we'd come on the weekends to our grandparents' farm, and eventually our grandparents moved to town and the farmhouse was vacant. But Dad had a lot of he had antique black powder guns. Beautiful. They were museum pieces. But it was down the farm, nobody around, so they never locked their doors. Well, guess what? Somebody stole those guns. And because we lived in Illinois and came over to Missouri, crossing the state line like that, we weren't getting a lot of cooperation with the police. And finally, we knew who took the guns. Dad knew who took them. It was someone who had been a guest more than once. But he was ornery and did that. So there was seven or eight of the guns. And one of the police officers in Illinois told my dad, he said, all you can do is watch the pawn shops and see if they start turning up. Well, they did. But there was no identification on them, no way to prove that they were stolen. So my dad ended up buying back all those guns. He got them all back.
What did he do then?
Well, but he had to pay for them. He had to pay a price to get them back.
Well, I mean, spiritually, in the same context, he paid the price to redeem them.
Yeah, he redeemed those guns back to himself.
And he paid that. But who made that choice? he did.
Mm-hmm.
See, he had to pay for them. And that's the way God paid for us, but we have to choose the redemption that he paid for.
I don't know how much he paid to get those guns back.
That's a good analogy. We're important to God. He loves us. We're important to him. We're his treasure. Every man is his treasure. We are deeply loved. I'm going to read these real quickly. I'm still here. Unless God says anything specific, I'm going to just read this. Romans 5:15. But the free gift is not like the offense. If by the one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned, or Adam. For the judgment which came from one offense resulted in condemnation, or the separation between God and man. But the free gift which came from many offenses resulted in justification. For if by the one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through one, Christ Jesus, Jesus Christ. So we're to reign in life, not just in heaven, we reign in life. Therefore, as through one man's offense judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so through one man's righteous acts, the free gift came to all men, resulting in the justification of life. For as by one man, verse 19, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so many were made sinners by Adam's fall, so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous. By Jesus' obedience, since he never sinned, but he had full opportunity to and could have, he never did. By his righteous acts of obedience, we can be saved.
Hallelujah.
Verse 22, so that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through the righteousness of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Praise God. I'm going to read this next one quickly and then the last one, because I got to get to the last one. Romans 6:14. I love this. For sin shall not... Now what shall? We talk about that a lot. Shall is an absolute. It's an absolute. It can't be changed. For sin shall not have dominion over you. For you are not under law, but under grace. I can use that for any sin in my life. I can declare that sin shall not have dominion over me, for I am not under the law, but under grace. I have dominion over this sin, and I rebuke you. I take authority over you. You're not functioning in my life. That's what we got to do. He said sin shall not have dominion over me. And it's because of his grace. I'm under grace. I'm born again. Now the last one I'm going to read is this, and I'm going to read it in the Amplified because it is so awesomely outstanding. You'll have to listen carefully to this one because it's related to that last scripture. Sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under grace, not under the law, but under grace. But 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, Amplified Classic. For no temptation, no trial regarding as enticing to sin, no matter how it comes or where it leads, has overtaken you and laid hold on you that is not common to man. That is, no temptation or trial has come to you that is beyond human resistance. and that is not adjusted and adapted and belonging to human experience, and such as man can bear. We'll stop there a minute. It means that no matter what sin is there, you cannot say that I can't resist that. I can't help myself. You can. You can. You're just not wanting to. But according to that scripture, it doesn't matter where it comes from or what it is. You have been made to where you can resist it. No matter what it is. Now, I'll start there again. But God, there's that but God. But God is faithful to His Word and to His compassionate nature. And He can be trusted not to let you be tempted and tried and assayed beyond your ability and strength of resistance and power to endure. He said this sin is not going to go beyond your ability. It's not going to go beyond your ability. You may not be resisting, but it cannot go beyond your ability to resist it. You can do it. But with the temptation, He will... Now, He's not saying He gave you the temptation. He's saying with the temptation that's there. But with the temptation, He will always provide the way out, the means of escape to a landing place, that you may be capable and strong and powerful to bear up under it patiently. I like it, landing place. You know what a landing place is? It means it can't go any further. It can't go no further down. You are at the landing place. It's impossible to go any further down. So when you get down to the place where you can't handle it, you can still get out of it. Don't you know that's frustrating to the devil? He spends years trying to get a guy into this thing, and with one or two words, he's out. That's got to be frustrating. Oh, praise God. Well, Father, we thank You for this time in the Word tonight. It's been rich, and we're so thankful for it. And thank You, Lord, that by Your Spirit, You'll reveal this to us whenever we need it, and that our lives will be changed to where we can show this love that You have for us through us to others. That's what it's all about. We've been sent forth as ministers of reconciliation. Reconciliation, joining man back to You. But first they have to know You. They have to know that they can. They have to know that they do have a choice. And that's our job. Thank You, Holy Spirit, for speaking through us right when we need to be the one speaking to someone or praying. Thank You for taking these messages and getting them into the hearts of people that need to hear and that can share them with others. We're thankful for our time here. Thank You for next week already.
Yes, Lord.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Thank
Hallelujah.
You. Amen.